SEIU Local 73 is a public employee union. As mentioned recently, we have passed an anti-war resolution, and we basically did that for two reasons. One, we are opposed to the expansion of privatization, globalization, or corporate greed. And two, we believe this expansion is not in the best interest of working people in the United States, in Iraq, or anywhere around the world. For us to have got that conclusion, I'd like to tell our story. And that starts about 14 years ago when our workers in the city of Chicago were privatized. At that time, we saw the fight just here in Chicago, and we felt that if we put enough pressure on Mayor Daley and his administration, that privatization will go away. Of course, that did not occur, and not only that, through the years, it has been a crisis for our members in Local 73. Because of that, when you are in a crisis, you try to find solutions, and myself and others, anytime we saw the word privatization in print or heard it in the radio, we had a desire to learn as much as we can about a subject that we knew very little about. Our search had us discover the Public Sector Institute, or the PSI, and a man named Andy Banks, who wrote various articles on privatization. And what he did do in the beginning of his articles, he also told the history of how privatization originated. And it started from our president, Reagan at the time, and also Thatcher and others who got together and decided a new scheme of how to make money. And the one interesting subject also is that it didn't start in the United States in Chicago like we had thought. You know, not really, we didn't really think that, but we felt that. It didn't start in Chicago, but it started in third world countries. We learned about the World Bank and their carrot and stick, where they put the carrot of countries that were destitute and telling them, come and get the money. And then the stick was, you have to give us control of your country, and we are going to privatize your public workforce. Then we also learned words like neoliberalism, which talks about freeing trade. Everybody likes the word liberalism, so you want to jump on that. But lo and behold, it doesn't mean freeing the borders for the workers. And if you're stuck there, you're stuck. But it does mean that your products, you can wave to them as they go across the borders to wherever. Through, of course, the 80s, there's the World Trade Agreements that came about, and the FTAA and GATS. And our members knew that we needed to learn more. I met a man named Dave Rainey from the Urban Planning Department at the U of I, and also people from the American Friends Service Committee. And together, we started holding forums and workshops and invited Local 73 members to learn more on the subjects. They were about 3 or 4 hours on Saturdays, and we had numerous of them because our membership was thirsty to know what was going on. Dave Rainey invited me to go to Chile, and that was the first international experience I had. In Chile, I was involved in a group that of people from all over this hemisphere trying to stop globalization. Globalization, of course, is the spread of corporate power and control without concerns for labor or the environment. And then just recently, I had the opportunity, thanks to Jobs with Justice, that's a coalition group of labor, religious groups, and students, and labor together. And Jobs with Justice sent me down to Brazil, where there was a World Social Forum. That's the second year. The first year in Brazil, when the World Social Forum was there, there was about 10,000, and that has now since grown to this year. There was over 100,000, and that's an international forum from people all over the world who grouped together in order to stop the spread of globalization. I was able to hear speakers such as Hugo Chavez, president from Venezuela, who spoke about the attempts on his life because he had the audacity to try to think that his people could be better off if they used their natural resource of oil to help them get out of the poor shape that they were in. He tried to raise the oil prices, and that didn't go over too big. And so somebody felt that they needed to try to kill him. I also met Oscar Oliveira, who is a labor leader from Bolivia, who was against the privatization of their water supply and told of the story of hundreds of Bolivians that had came together in order to fight that. And lo and behold, gratefully, they were successful. But of course, water is another natural resource that people need in order to survive. Heard stories of Chile in their fight against the privatization of their communication systems, South Africa, again, its water and electricity, and I can go on, but you can get the thrust that what we're talking about is human basic needs that, because of corporate greed, are now being denied in third world countries, and of course, we have our own privatization of our own country. And in Brazil, overwhelmingly, the talks were, again, of Iraq and the connection between what people from other countries truly feel the war is about, and that is about the domination of the oil in Iraq. In Brazil, needless to say, I did not hear anybody who bought the argument that we were there for our own safety. And that's, of course, what we're told. And even our members, it's not too much to convince that's not what's happening over there. I happen to be a mother of four children. Three of my oldest are sons, and my youngest is a daughter. And any mother could know that you tell the oldest ones, you know, quit messing with the younger ones day after day. And I tell them, you know, sooner or later, you have to sleep. And they'll get you in the sleep if they have to, but they're going to get you, you know. And one day, you know, that does occur, and then you say, well, you got what you deserve. Unfortunately for us, the American people, it's not us that's messing with other countries. It's our leadership that is. But we are going to feel the brunt of the consequences of their behaviors. Their children are not going to be in jeopardy, but ours are. And we can see that now, little by little our freedoms are being taken away. And now our airports do have to be protected because somebody is going to mess with us. They are going to get tired of the abuses that our government is enforcing on them. So bringing that back to our membership, and of course, as I mentioned, we are a public employee union, so it doesn't take much for our members to understand what the war truly is about. I feel, is the reason why we came up with the deduction and the resolution that we did. I also mentioned that I had a little daughter. She's 9 years old, and she's in fourth grade. And in October, at the end of October, there was a teacher conference, and I went there like any parent would, and the teacher was telling me that my daughter was a very good student, and I was proud of that, and that she was she was her best science student, and that she was very curious, and the pride was just welling inside of me. And then she said, "But I would like to tell you about an incident that occurred in class." And I waited for the teacher conference in order to do that, and I said, and because I have three older sons, I knew what the "but" meant. And so I tried to brace myself, and I said, okay. And she told me that she was a very hands-on teacher, and she was a young teacher, and I could see that, in a good one. And she said that she described things to the class very descriptive, and she had projects so that they could really get involved, and she feels that's why Marissa liked it so much. But they were talking about natural products and recycling and those that were replaceable and non-replaceable. And through the project, they got to petroleum. And she said that she had described to the class all the things that why petroleum was valuable, and that it came from dinosaurs, and of course there are no more dinosaurs, so you know, the fossil and the whole process, and you can never replace it. And my daughter chose at that time to say, "Oh, that's why we're going to go to the war in Iraq, you know, because of the petroleum." And the teachers, I guess, decided let's do math instead of approaching that. But she wanted me to know. And it's like, you know, if you have a kindergartner who announces to the class that there's no Santa Claus, my daughter chose to announce to the class that we live in a country where we are willing to kill others for a very valuable, non-replaceable natural resource. And I think that I felt like I can understand now, you know, that's what we are having to tell the public, not so much our own labor, because they, you know, our members should by this time already know, but we're faced with that difficulty, and that's something very difficult to say, but probably the most difficult thing that I've had to stand up for since I've been in the labor movement, which has been 18 years. But it is a responsibility, and that labor has always and should stand up for what's right, whether it's popular or not. And right now, it definitely isn't the most popular thing to do. But I hope that through us that we can tell the other labor leaders, you know, not to take the easy way out, which, of course, would be easy to say, let's just support the troops, which some of our brothers and sisters are doing in labor, but to stand up for what's right. And like I said, I would like to end with hopefully some possibilities of if we do that successfully, what we can now create. And that is also at Brazil. The theme of the Brazilian forum was Another World is Possible. And I know that our members, they are not relying totally on, they don't have to rely on Fox television like we did during the Vietnam Wars. You know, now you can go to C-SPAN, and you can go in the internet. And for once, you know, we are speaking up early, and we have forums like this so that we can have other possibilities. Also in Brazil, when speakers were speaking, and I was at forums in stadiums where there were thousands of people, a number of the responsible speakers, because there was a lot of anti-American sentiment, were very clear to say that it is not the American people that we have to remember that we are not against, because the people are workers just like the rest of us. It is the government and their leadership that we are opposed to. And one speaker in particular, and that's what I'd like to leave on, was Arundhati Roy. And many of you may have already heard her, a fantastic speaker. When she left her speech, she said, because she always leaves with hope, and she said, we will wait, you know, and soon the American people will come join us. And that's what I hope that we all could be a part of. Thank you.